Hello and welcome to the Yoga Therapy Hour. Today we have an amazing guest named Karina Marshall. And Karina is about to rock your world and help you see that finding your high vibrational consciousness is the key to moving where it is that you want to go in this lifetime. That entertaining things that are not serving you, letting your mind wander to all sorts of things that it hopefully shouldn't be wandering to, is not helpful. It's not helpful to you, your family, your community, or even the world consciousness. I get into very practical things about people who might be feeling lack, especially a lot of yoga teachers are in that boat, and using that as an example to study how is it that we can find the focus that we need. And I ask Karina some really specific questions about the mechanisms of why this works, how this works. Should I focus on the specific? Should I leave it to the universe and be vague? Like, I really dig in and try to get to the bottom of what's going on here, that our minds are so powerful. And if we focus them in the right direction, we can create a lot of amazing things. And then in the second half of the interview, I ask her some really hard questions about what's going on in the world today and how can we be of service when there's such serious conflicts, and it almost feels bad attending to your own vibration and having that juxtaposition between so many people suffering and yet I'm over here trying to make myself feel better. And does that actually contribute to the consciousness and the light of the world? Does that feeling good inside of me while donating time and energy and money to people in need? You can do both, but specifically, if I take care of my vibration, is that even going to have an effect on someone else who's suffering maybe halfway across the world? So I think it's an important thing to be asking. We have to make sure we're not spiritually bypassing. And Karina came up with some really fabulous answers to all of that and kind of soothed my soul a little bit, because I don't want to just go into a spiritual bypass and love and light and all is happy when really there's a lot of really hard things going on in the world. So I think you're going to enjoy the presence of Karina. She is so lovely. And let's go meet Karina Marshall. She's from Long Beach, California, and I think you're going to have a wonderful hour with Karina. Welcome to the Yoga Therapy Hour podcast. We hope that you're enjoying this podcast each and every week. In addition to this podcast, Marlisa Sullivan and myself, Amy Wheeler, we are hosting a group inside the Polyvagal Institute. It's a free group where you can learn about yoga, yoga therapy, and polyvagal theory. We'd love to have you come on over there too to enjoy some of that free content. And I'll put the link in the show notes so that you can get over there easily. All right, let's go over and meet our guest for today. Welcome, Karina. So nice to have you with us today.
Thank you, Amy. I'm so pleased to be here and honored to be part of your program, and I really appreciate you.
Thank you. Just going to take a moment to start with gratitude. Gratitude that we have this time together. Gratitude for what you're going to share with our listeners, because I think what you're sharing is revolutionary. It's so needed in the world today. It's very subtle work for some. We haven't had anything like this on the podcast. So let's jump in. Our general topic for today is yoga and your vibrational manner. M-A-N-N-E-R. What does vibrational manner mean?
Well, let me start by saying that we live really in the world of energy, and that is not new to a lot of us yoga enthusiasts. We live in a world of energy, and energies consist of vibration, and we vibrate as well. So our thoughts, emotions, our feelings, and our beliefs, they constitute or make up what I call our vibrational manner. As we are living and breathing, existing and interacting, we have a vibrational manner. It's not constant, because it depends on what you think, what you believe, and what you feel. Since we're all always becoming, our vibrational manner can fluctuate, but we do have what one would call a dominant vibrational manner.
So tell us about that, the dominant vibrational manner.
Well, a lot of the dominancy arises from our beliefs. And of course, there are what you call silent beliefs as well, things that we are not quite conscious about, but we've grown up with certain beliefs based on how we were brought up since we were babies or kids and growing up and the experiences that have unfolded in our lives and how that has made us either stronger or more vulnerable, so to speak. So our vibrational manner really consists of a moment to moment sometimes, if that's a little too much to think of, a daily kind of vibrating what we are focusing on. Because what we focus on is what we're thinking about, becoming aware also of our beliefs. Like, is something that's presenting in our lives limiting us? Or does it feel like it's empowering us? That might be an introduction to vibrational manner.
I
Would that
love
make sense?
that. It totally makes sense to me. And it may be foreign for some of our listeners. I would think a lot of yoga people, but we have a lot of people that listen to this podcast just love, yogic philosophy. And let's look at, maybe it's too mechanistic and you can guide me in the way you think it's most useful to look at things. But when someone changes their belief, I know a lot of yoga teachers are suffering right now financially. It feels to some that the economy is contracting and therefore people are not spending money on things that are not necessities or essential. And therefore, a lot of yoga teachers are perceiving that that is affecting them and their business. If you have that belief, like, oh, there's lack, people aren't spending money, it's affecting my business, how does that translate into your vibration? What's the mechanism there?
The mechanism that's involved there is the law of resonance. Some people call it the law of magnetism, or you hear more commonly the law of attraction. And I understand that in any business or any undertaking that involves money is an exchange of energy. When the current activity is such that there's not the regular kind of revenue that one might get from your usual activities, then there's a tendency to focus on the lack and what's currently happening. But vibrationally, what's currently happening is also, quote unquote, the past, because we're always creating. So it's really important to be aware, although the ego's reminding us, oh my gosh, how come there's only two students or three people who enrolled? Well, there should be 20. Our egos might be reminding us that. It's really important to be aware and focused on the abundance of the universe and the belief, or at least the dream, so to speak, that there is a lot of abundance in the universe. And then again, that is a belief that probably some of you might take a little bit of time clinging into right away when what's around you seems to be a lack of a lot of things. But it's just really simply a matter of focus. What you put your attention to is really what's generating the vibration that you will attract in the future.
So I want to back up a minute here. Are you
Sure.
saying what we are experiencing in this moment is actually the residue of our past belief and our ability or inability to focus? And that has brought us to this moment because of what was in the past. And therefore, we have this moment to plant new seeds for the future vibrations we will feel. Is that what you said?
Absolutely, absolutely. I think you put it in a much more clarifying way. And that's really what it is about. Focus is everything. And since we're always becoming, what you're focusing in right now are planting the seeds for the next kind of reality we will be experiencing.
So I have had this question for a really long time, and I've played with these ideas, but I feel like I actually need coaching on it. So maybe we can talk about how people can work with you at the end. But when we focus, are we saying, I am Amy Wheeler, I manifest XYZ, and am I getting specific, or am I saying, universe, this is how I want to feel? I'll leave it up to you to decide how to get me there, what actually manifests. So do we focus on specific things, or do we feel it and tell the universe, hey, bring it to me in the best form you got, because that might even be better than any ideas I have?
Excellent question. Well, how I would look at it, the power of intention, our individual intentions, is really, really important. You set your intention, and you can be as specific as you want, but I think it's always important to add something like for the highest good of all, or a similar kind of phrase, because that vibration also surrenders to the universe or source or whatever your belief system is, God. It surrenders to the universe the highest good of all, which in our limited minds, we have probably not even imagined it could happen, but it could be even better.
Beautiful. I love that. So one of the things you had written in our pre-correspondence, I don't know if you remember this, sometimes people sign up for the podcast.
I know, it's a long time
ahead of time, and they're like, what are we doing? I'll read your words to kind of cue you into what you may have been thinking.
Thank you. Yeah.
You wrote, yoga creates the space and alignment to improve or enhance one's vibrational manner. And then in parentheses, you put thoughts, emotions, etc.
Yes, yoga plays a very important role. Yoga is, in my own words, a portal for integrating our mind, our spirit, our soul, as a portal for integration and unifying our essence. It truly improves our vibrational manner, because when we do yoga, we are concentrating, whether it's hatha yoga and poses or kriya yoga or whatever yoga meditation you're doing, you are focusing and hopefully emptying your mind. In the process, also, there is breath work. So that's union with your soul or spirit in my vocabulary. Yoga creates that space where normally we are always responding to the external stimuli around us and the mind takes over. So yoga is a beautiful space for every person to really explore, practice, and continue to allow the expansion that we all deserve, especially during these times.
I just want to be clear. When you say space, are you talking about the space in your day to do yoga so that you can feel the vibration and integrate? So that could be one. Or is it also, we need space in order to bring our vibration up? Like if our daily lives are packed 12 hours a day and we're running all over and we're feeling frantic, it just feels contracted. We also need a sense of ease and space, and as you said, expansion in order to raise our vibration?
Really great question there, Amy. When I talk about space, I'm really referring to consciousness. The space allows us to shift in our consciousness, and consciousness is energy, and energy is vibration, right? So when we have a shift in our consciousness, that's big. And that creates the potential and for limitless possibilities, really.
So let's go back to our example. If someone were able to have a shift in consciousness and a shift in vibration, essentially, to create these many potentials, what would that look like for a yoga teacher that was having some lack mentality? I know it's a very hard question because everyone has their own beliefs that are stopping them from having lack, but is it like the opposite of what they're feeling? Is it a general term? Like, how do people get that shift in consciousness?
So when somebody's feeling negatively and aware that there's this feeling and noticing what's going on, the lack and limitation, when we practice yoga, we allow the mind to rest and empty, okay? At least that's my purpose in practicing my yoga. And when the mind is empty and relaxed, we are in that consciousness field of allowing. And when we are allowing, we are defocusing from the lack and opening ourselves to the abundance of the universe. It's a real subtle trick, but for most of you probably who've been meditating for quite a while, Meditation allows us to have that space so we can allow. And the most important thing about improving one's vibrational manner is improving your feeling at the moment. So, for example, if you're really into lack of things and feeling so negatively, you can't go from being angry to bliss. That's a big jump. You just go to the next better feeling place, whether that's taking a nap, doing some breathing or asana poses, or going for a walk, petting your dog. And I love petting my cat. Just little things like that that improves your feeling. And then trusting that you're allowing good feelings to come will create the momentum for you to vibrate in the next more desirable way.
So I'm imagining that you've taken the nap, you hydrated, you played with your kitty. I love all these ideas, by the way. At that moment, then are you getting specific about your focus and are you watching your thoughts? And if you see one that's making you feel bad, you're saying, no, thank you. I'd like to think this thought instead. Is there like a thought replacement that's happening?
Well, that's pretty tricky. If you do a thought replacement, well, at some level, there is some thought replacement going on, I guess. But what I particularly do, my technique is that I imagine the thought, watch it, become aware of it, and I actually visualize my own light gleaming or beaming to that particular scenario, and then just allowing it to pass through, like you're observing it in the movie. You're like watching. Just watching and seeing it flow. And if there's another negative thought that comes in, same thing. Just be aware and watch it. Just like engaging your witness consciousness. But then you're also beaming your light, beaming that light. And if that's too big of a jump that the light comes from you, you can say, oh, the light comes from above or wherever it comes from. But that light is really the energetic engagement of just watching it go and flow and go away. And then think of something that you enjoy in your life, something that really brings you joy, whether it was, seeing your daughter or your son take the first step, little things like those.
I love this. It's so practical. Like, I was kind of wondering, thinking about our talk today, like, how does this work? And the way you're describing it is a very practical thing that we can all do. It's nothing out there that, oh, I have to try to find something that's outside of me. It's like, I can pet my cat. I can take a nap. I can go for a walk. I can do the next best thing. I can observe these little bubbles of negativity and put some light on them. I mean, that's just so practical.
It is. We sometimes tend to complicate things, but it's really simple. Just get to the next better feeling place and just always remind yourself of your intention, because every negative feeling is really pointing you to the direction of where you want to go, right? Okay, if there's a lack here, okay, because you want more abundance, then focus on the abundance. But just get to the next better feeling place first. Sometimes I even eat a cone of ice cream, even though I try to avoid sugar. Why not?
Bring your vibration up. I'm so happy. It's
Right.
Ben and Jerry's tasted so yummy. Okay, so next question. I hope I'm not asking too much of you today. You can.
Oh, no, that's
I'm so
fine.
excited and curious about this. All right, so in Indian philosophy, there's this idea of opening your consciousness up with receptivity, that the way to abundance is through allowing, and I'm hearing a lot of that language, the flow, the observing, the letting it flow through. There's not, at least my understanding of Lakshmi, the ways we look at this through in the Indian philosophy lens is you set an intention, but you also sit like the lotus flower on the muddy pond and allow the rays of the sunshine to come to you. There's this juxtaposition here, like we set the intention, let's just use the abundance idea again, and then we make our consciousness receptive in all the ways that you've talked about. Do you feel it's more like that, or do you feel like it's more of a dance, like, okay, I'm going to put in this effort, and then I'm going to watch for the sign, and then I'm going to, is there a more masculine element to it where you're giving effort and focusing and doing things?
I think that the allowing is the process of really trusting the process. Everybody has probably heard that phrase. You trust the process. Okay, trust the process, trust process. What does that mean, right? Well, for example, let's say you set an intention that I really like this guy. Okay, I want this guy in my life. However, the way things are going in the process of interacting with this person, you get signs that doesn't feel quite right. It doesn't feel like it's your loving essence. Then those are guidance. Everything that you feel, trust how you feel. Everything that you feel is guidance. And so, whether it's an intention that you're so set on achieving, but at the same time, you realize there's a bigger picture than most of our limited minds can even imagine, then when you allow that you are trusting the process of what's the highest good for all, then there is this opening up of your consciousness to all the possibilities.
Hello, are you interested in polyvagal theory? Well, if so, I have two really cool things you might be interested in. One is an app called the Mighty Network, where Marlisa Sullivan and myself are hosting a yoga therapy and polyvagal theory group, and it's free. You can just join the group, come in and share thoughts and ideas on polyvagal theory, yoga, and yoga therapy. We try to post every week, stimulating a community around yoga, the nervous system, and polyvagal theory. So we'd love to have you join us. In addition, we are giving a 7-week class on polyvagal theory and yoga starting in the fall. You can find that on www.polyvagalinstitute.org, O-R-G. So we'd love to invite you to that 7-week course that's starting in September of 2024.
And just have fun with it. You know, don't think or analyze too much. Let your heart lead the way.
I mean, this seems fun. This seems like what you'd get to do on a retreat when, you know, you've got the time and the space and you're allowing yourself to be open. Is it hard to do in daily life when you've got 7 meetings that day and 3 bills that need to be paid? Those things feel like they kind of constrict the space and constrict this ability to dance and play and allow. What do you say to that?
Yeah, you know, everybody, especially these days, everything seems to be going so fast. Like yesterday, I had 3 meetings and then 2 Zoom meetings. And then in between, I said, oh, how can I do so that I can, you know, really look at this with my witness consciousness rather than being in it and being absorbed and eaten by all this time and space that's consuming the better part of me. And what I do is I take little breaks. You know, I go and check my roses or go out in the garden. I pet my cat and I notice my crystal on my table and say, thanks for mirroring my essence here and supporting the energy in this room. Little things like that. Or I look at my phone at my photos and I have an album there that I created. The label is Just for Fun. And every time I look at those pictures in that album, it really makes me smile or I laugh because it documents something that's so funny and it really boosts up my vibrational energy. So those are just practical tips. There are little tips, and each one of us, we're very creative in our own ways. In fact, each one of us can probably even write a book collectively about sharing tips and how those little things in between the meetings and all the errands we have to do each day, you know, those little tips that can really be fun. We just have to create it.
I'm even noticing the space all around you. It's so beautiful. Is that part of how you keep your vibration high? Also, it's organized. There's no extra junk sitting around. It's a beautiful space with color and white. Is that part of this too? Is like just being able to look around the room and say, wow, I'm so lucky and I'm so grateful for this beautiful space.
Well, thank you for the compliment. Well, environment is also energy. So having organization around you where you feel, what's important is how you feel vibrating or living in your space. Some people, it's okay with them if they have piles of stuff left and right. It's how you feel in the moment. However, environment, you might not be aware of it, but environment and how you arrange things can have an impact on your vibration without you realizing it. The most important thing is if we can be in the world and not of it, meaning like vibrate the energy that we are, no matter what environment we're in, then that's the ideal. But certainly any help would be welcome by organizing the space around us.
Yeah. All right. So now I have a tough question for you, Karina.
Oh,
For me,
no.
this has been so heavy on my heart. And, I'm watching what's happening in Gaza and Israel and Rafah. And there's a part of me that feels like I don't want to bypass those feelings of watching people have pain and suffering. I want to be present. I want to be part of the solution. And yet, I have found myself when I go too far in that direction, feeling so depressed and hopeless and helpless. Like, what am I doing? I'm not making a difference. And here I am feeling like I just want to lay in bed all day because it's so heavy. And I know a lot of yoga teachers probably are listening, are feeling this way. What would you say to help us with that?
Yes, a lot of humanity actually is feeling that way with what we're reading in the news. And what's happening is part of our collective consciousness as well. And we haven't been really taught what I would call metaphysical tools or consciousness tools, where even though we are not physically there or we're not donating a lot of money to help the charities involved there, we have what we call our metaphysical tools or the energy within us, where we can vibrate and concentrate on those areas and send our love, our energies of love and peace, and imagine and visualize the light in those areas and all the suffering that probably you visually can see through the news or newspapers on print. And just imagine the light that is beaming towards them. And if we can collectively sustain those energies and do it on a regular basis, as often as we think of them, I'm sure it will make a big difference. It's part of quantum physics. You don't have to be locally there. Our prayers, that's another label one would use for engaging frequencies that emanate from us individually. Our prayers, our intentions, our meditations, our collective intentions to beam some light and love in those areas, whether it's there or even in our own families, our workplace, or ourselves, they're very, very powerful. And those metaphysical tools are available. It's actually calling each one of us to realize how much power we really have within us.
I think that is a beautiful answer, and I agree with it. And I also think there's people placing doubt, making one feel like that's not enough, and you're just sending love and light. That's some spiritual bypass. What would you say to that? I know these are hard questions, but they're the ones that have been on my mind. Like, of course, I want to do that, and I will do that now that you've reinforced that for me again. And I can just hear the little voices of doubt, like, yeah, you're sending love and light. Great.
I understand because, as I said too earlier, that we have not been taught any of this metaphysical tools, or that's a fairly new manner of thinking. And some might even think that's woo-woo. But in the yoga world, we kind of understand that, and we have different levels of understanding that. We are still so used to the material or the proof kind of way of resolving things that we have not really explored to the level that it can be explored, how we can vibrate those elements and those frequencies that will resolve and contribute to, believe it or not, world peace. It's still something that we're collectively still kind of learning and hopefully increasingly practicing and adapting to, because collectively also what's happening in the world is how the consciousness of the world seems to be moving, and it's waking a lot of people. There are consciousness studies right now that I don't know how they measure it, but they are saying that there's more light that the earth is emanating than ever before. And why? I believe it's because of all the contrast that we are experiencing in world events and in people experiencing and witnessing the world events. So it's calling us really, where is our power? You know, where is it? It is within us, and yoga provides that space for exploration.
When you look at, if we just look at this conflict, and there's many more in Somalia and all sorts of places, but the material means of solving the problem have not worked. And so it's almost like, well, we have to go to quantum physics. We have to raise the vibration. We have to raise the consciousness as it starts subtly and then over time manifest in a more gross, tangible way. So what I'm hearing you say, whether you said this or not, is another question, but let's all begin to change our vibration and raise the consciousness, and the physical or material will have no choice but to follow along with that because that is quantum physics. That's how it works.
I agree. It's sort of also the concept of the critical mass, and energetically, we will activate those frequencies that will resolve the things that are bothering us right now. It will be a focusing kind of thing at our level right now. And when we read something so drastically and horrible and seeing in the news, we can imagine at that moment just really sending the light. And also trusting that things will be better as we continue to hold the energy of peace and love in those areas and wherever, within ourselves, especially. Collectively, there will be the critical mass of holding that light and energy. And it will be something that is calling each one of us to summon the consciousness of the reality that we would like to experience for our future.
And I don't think it means we can't also give to charities and help families. I mean, we can do material things also. It's not excluding that. And probably it's wonderful to do both. So I just want to point that out that it's not only changing our consciousness. And I want to flip it on its side. And this could go for any problem we have. The next question I'm going to ask, it could be any problem. Getting lost in the disappointment, the fear, the sadness, the hopelessness. Although maybe we need to process our emotions to some degree, where does that take us if we allow that vibration to take hold? And how do you reconcile that with allowing us to process some emotions at certain times when it's warranted?
When in processing emotions, I'm not an expert in, like a psychotherapist or a therapist by any means, but just from vibrational kind of viewpoint and consciousness viewpoint, exploring something where it takes us, if it gets any worse, of course, it will just lead you to a point where you can't take it anymore. And then because you can't take it anymore, there is also a mind shift. If you're aware, you could focus instead. What is it that you want that's opposite of what you're extremely experiencing extreme negativity about? What's the opposite? And that awareness itself and your ability to focus and visualize your desires more than the current experience is the key. Focus is everything, and the physical universe, our minds, take over, and if we allow it. So yoga is a really wonderful area to make sure we're managing our minds rather than our minds managing us.
That's so hard. I feel like we are so distracted. We have partial attention to so many things. I mean, when I'm listening to you, I'm like, I have got to get off social media, except for a very limited period of time to get my work done, and then I need to turn it off. Like, that to me is, I feel like it's just kind of this fun thing that I do, and maybe it is, but also I'm thinking, wow, that's so much time I could be getting into this vibrational consciousness and looking at the gem on the table and petting the cat. Like, there's so many feel good things I could be doing instead of scrolling and flicking the next video, the next video, the next video. Do you have any thoughts on that?
I think everything can be looked at from the point of establishing some sort of balance. Because sometimes when I look at social media, it's fun to see where my friends are, what my friends are doing. And it's also fun to see those funny pet movies. And it makes you feel good. So for me personally, I just make sure I limit it. For example, okay, I'm going to spend 10 to 15 minutes looking at social media, find out what's going on with my friends and find some funny pictures or pet stuff and not be consumed. Because once we realize the 15 minutes went to 30 minutes in an hour, we just kind of like, okay, I'll be aware next time. But I don't like to be hard on myself. I always forgive myself the minute I notice that I've gone over what I've established as my limit or my boundary, because there's really nothing truly serious going on. And life is supposed to be fun and life is celebration. We are so lucky to be alive. We are. And despite all the negative focus that the news helps enhance, there is so much that we can focus on that's a celebration of life. Just go out and look at your garden and the fruits and the food that we eat. Those are the miracles that sustain and nourish us. I mean, little things like those that we take for granted, and there's more. You just focus on it and look for it. It will wow you with appreciation.
Was it challenging to train your mind and focus yourself to find this level of vibration and consciousness?
Well, yes, it was in the beginning in my 20s. I thought that I had to find a formula for how to live life. Even in my 30s and 40s, that life is doing things to me and I just need to know how to adopt or learn the secrets of it. But in my 50s, I said, something's going on here and I got to figure it out. And I went through a really painful divorce. That was my portal for expansion. And in that painful, almost traumatic event in my life, I learned to listen more to myself and found out that there was so much power within me and learned all that I understand about consciousness and metaphysics and how I believe the world works in the vibrational nature and energy of it. And it helped me very much. So don't be afraid of contrast. It's something we all don't want to experience, but it really prods us. It catapults us to where we are really desiring. Because otherwise, if we're complacent, when we're at the fork of the road, we're probably ignoring some of those paths that would have been really good for us.
I think that's such a great message to not be scared of what appears to be painful and to say, okay, this is a strong message that it's time for me to shift my consciousness.
Yes, and I also believed, and I got this from listening to one of the tapes of a friend of mine, you can never get it wrong. And I really believe when I heard that, it resonated so deeply within me. It's like, I can never get it wrong because this is just one lifetime. There are other lifetimes, and I had a lot more lifetimes before me. So it's all an expansion. Of course, that's so idealistic for some, but to me, that works. And it helps me relieve the pressure of like, oh my gosh, this is it. I'm stuck. It has helped me to become more courageous in undertaking things that normally I would not.
So we're coming to a close, and I want people to know how they can work with you. Do you do individual work? Do you do group work? Is there a YouTube channel? Like, how can people who are feeling really touched by what you've shared today work with you?
I do one-on-ones at this point, and you can contact me through my website, Unlimited Self. That's one word, unlimitedself.us or US, because it's us, we're all one. So that's unlimitedself.us. And you can just email me and I will connect with you, and we just can go from there. I do consultations one-on-one, but at the same time, I'm always looking for a friend who just needs another perspective, and I'm here to support you. And my book, Discover and Use Your Greatest Power, has 16 metaphysical tools that might help you with your vibrational manner. It's available on Amazon and Barnes and Noble.
And it's called Discover and Use Your Greatest Superpower, Metaphysics, Spirituality, and Bubblegum.
That's right.
So there's the fun.
That's the fun part. We have to make it fun, right? Because it is.
Thank you, Karina. You have inspired me today. I really needed to hear everything that you shared. And I know that our listeners will be really benefiting from the time that you spent and so generously gave of yourself today. And I hope, want to encourage people to contact you because I feel the vibe here. So
thank you so much. I really appreciate your portal for expansion for a lot of your listeners, myself, and the world. So thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Karina Marshall, for being with us today. It was so lovely to be in your presence. And anyone who's interested in learning more from Karina, you can read her book, which we just mentioned. You can go to www.unlimitedself.us and find her. She's also on Instagram. And there is a part of me that can be a little skeptical of this, but quantum physics doesn't lie. It doesn't lie. It is ignored by our society. We want to see tangible, manifest, gross things, material things. We want to see that. And we forget that everything that manifests starts in the subtle realm. And the Yoga Sutra of Patanjali talks about this. And it manifests over time and grows into a more material form. So if we want to grow something else in the material form, we have to start back at the subtle. And we have to grow it from the subtle, which is your focus, your vibration, your ease, your expansion, you creating space to bring yourself to a certain vibration. That's undeniable. What we have today is just the result of what we've been doing before. And if we want something different in the future, and again, this is exactly Patanjali's Yoga Sutra, if you want something different in the future, you have to start to manifest very subtly, and then eventually it will manifest in the more gross, tangible way. So I know it can seem a little woo-woo. I know it can seem like, I don't want to do this. Well, it's the only way forward. And as we move into quantum physics and vibrational healing, I think we're going to see huge shifts in the world in the next 20 years with vibrational healing, things that will be actually literally healed in our bodies and minds through vibration. That is already starting. It's already on the horizon. 20 years from now, that will be a common thought. So all of us can get early on this train and start to work on our own vibration, our own focus, and really offering ourselves as a way to heal the world, heal the planet, knowing that if we can come to a higher vibration individually and collectively, that that will change the world also. All right, everybody, have a great week. It was so nice to spend this hour with you, and we will talk soon.
Thank you for listening to the Yoga Therapy Hour. We hope that you enjoyed this content. Much of what we talk about goes right into the other work that I do. One of the really exciting things coming up soon is a program that I'm running with Mala Cunningham called Mental Health, Neuroscience, and Yoga, a peer counseling certification training. There'll be two parts. One of the parts will be online, and the second part will be in person. And at the end of this program, you will be a certified peer counselor who knows how to be in relationship with respect to mental health, neuroscience, and yoga. It's a two-weekend program, and we can't wait to invite you to learn more about it. If you're interested, go ahead and email welcome@theoptimalstate.com. Again, welcome@theoptimalstate.com, and Mala and I will get back to you to let you know the dates and locations of the program. All right, I hope you'll join us. Let's talk soon.
A special thank you to our team here at Optimal State. We are truly a global family. George Mantuan, one of our executive producers. Adam Satchel, senior media producer and sound engineer from the Philippines. Krishna Panchal, a producer from Canada. Modupe Abdullahi, who does the show notes and is an editor for us from Nigeria. And Peter Morley, who wrote and produced the music for this show, who lives in Australia. Find more about Peter's work at www.zenmusic.biz. Thank you for listening. We'll see you next time.